This morning, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 68. Psalm 68, and we'll be reading all the verses of this chapter. Psalm 68, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. But the righteous shall be glad, they shall exult before God, they shall be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exalt before him. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad. You restored your inheritance as it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. The Lord gives the word. The women who announce the news are a great host. The kings of the armies, they flee. The women at home divide the spoil. Though you men lie among the sheepfolds, the wings of a dove covered with silver, its pinions with shimmering gold. When the Almighty scatters kings there, let snow fall on Zalmon. O mountain of God, mountain of Bashan, O many-peaked mountain, mountain of Bashan, why do you look with hatred, O many-peaked mountain, at the mount that God desired for his abode, yes, where the Lord will dwell forever? Chariots of God are twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them. Sinai is now at the sanctuary. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God, the Lord, belong deliverances from death. But God will strike the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in his guilty ways. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that you may strike your feet in their blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from the foe. Your possession is seen, O God. The procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers in front, the musicians last, between them virgins playing tambourines. Bless God in the great congregation, the Lord, O you who are Israel's fountain. There is Benjamin, the least of them, in the lead. The princes of Judah in their throng. The princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Summon your power, O God. The power, O God, by which you have worked for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings shall bear gifts to you. Rebuke the beasts that dwell among the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the people. Trample underfoot those who lust after tribute. Scatter the people who delight in war. Nobles shall come from Egypt. Cush shall hasten to stretch out her hands to God. O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God. Sing praises to the Lord, to him who rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens. Behold, he sends out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 61. Page 61 in the back. This is Lord's Day 48. And this morning we will look at question and answer 123. I'll read the question and you may respond with the answer. From page 61, what does the second request mean? Well, last week we looked at the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, the petition, Hallowed be thy name. And we saw that that petition placed an obligation on us, on the things we do, on the way that we live. And our confession said, help us to honor your name, that your name be never blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Today we look at the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. The petition, Thy Kingdom Come, talking about the coming of the Kingdom of God. And again, we see that this prayer places us under obligation. It shapes the way that we live. It shapes the things that we do. We're praying for God's kingdom to come. And I think as we do that, we have to reflect just a little bit about whether or not God's kingdom has not already come. Isn't it the case that when God sent His Son Jesus, Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God? Isn't the kingdom already here? So why should we pray, Thy kingdom come? Yes, when Christ came, the kingdom was here. He inaugurated the establishment of the kingdom. But the kingdom has not yet come. In all of its fullness and in all of its glory. And that's what our prayer is. It is not as if Christ is not now king and ruling and reigning. It is that we want to see more of that. Our confession says, do this until your kingdom is so complete and perfect that in it you are all in all. The advancement, the expanse of the kingdom of God. That's our prayer. Thy kingdom come. Psalm 68 is a beautiful psalm about the advancement of God's kingdom. And it's a psalm about the king. What makes the kingdom of God so special, children? The kingdom of God is special because it is a reflection of the king. Just like in your homes. Things happen in your homes a certain way because they're a reflection of your mother and father's will. Things happen in the state as a reflection of those who rule over us. And the same is true for God's kingdom. It is a reflection of who God is, of His glory, and of His majesty. And that's why Psalm 68, David begins by talking about the character of the king. He says, God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, those who hate him shall flee before him. God is a glorious, wonderful king. And David, in this first section, highlights three parts of God's kingship. First of all, God is a powerful deliverer. God delivers his people from their enemies. He delivers them from their foes. He delivers them from those who would attack the kingdom of God. And God is so overwhelmingly powerful that the enemies can't even stand before Him. David gives us these pictures. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. A mere puff of breath can move the smoke off a birthday candle. God drives the wicked away like smoke is driven away by the wind. He says, as wax melts before fire. If you've ever watched a candle burn, you see a candle burn with that flame on top, and if you watch long enough, the wax simply gives way as the flame burns itself down. As wax melts before a fire, so the enemies of God fall away before Him. They can look strong, they can look oppressive, they can look like they're in control, but they are like wax melting away, falling away before the flame of fire. God is a powerful deliverer for His people, a powerful king who delivers them from oppression. God is a gracious defender of His people. Verse 4, sing to God, sing praise to His name. Lift up a song to Him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord, exalt before Him, Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in His holy habitation. He is a gracious defender of His people and of the weakest of His people, a father to the fatherless. God is a father to the orphans. He cares about them. He is concerned about them. A protector of the widows, those who have not a husband to take care of them. God in His holy habitation cares about the weakest of His people. David says, God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity. He settles the solitary in a home. Those who are by themselves, those who are alone. He gives them a place to belong. He gives them a place in Israel. Today we would say He gives them a place in His church, a place among His people. God cares about the lonely. God cares about the solitary. And He brings them into the fellowship of a family, the family of God, the body of Christ. He is a gracious defender. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity. Not a physical prosperity, but He leads them out of the oppression to a place of freedom. God leads them to free land. As a picture of what He does for us. He leads out those who were prisoners to sin, who were prisoners to the power of the devil, and leads them to a place where they are free to follow Christ. God graciously defends His people, taking care of them, protecting them, and then He is also a perfect provider for them. Oh God, when You went out before Your people, when You marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain before God, the One of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, You set abroad. You restored Your inheritance as it languished. God provided for His people. And the picture that David gives us is the provision of rain. Now remember that Israel was a desert. And rain is the difference between life and death in the desert. God provided exactly what they needed to continue their life. Rain in abundance, O God, You shed abroad. You restored Your inheritance as it languished. God provided for His people Israel. And God, the King, continues to provide for His people today. He knows our needs. We'll talk about those as we get to the second half of the prayer, that second set of petitions. And God is faithful to provide. He hears his people when they call out to them. The character of the king. He's a powerful deliverer. He's a gracious defender. He's a perfect provider. And that is reflected in the kingdom. God's kingdom is great because it is a reflection of a great king. And we pray that that kingdom might grow more and more. Do this until your kingdom is so complete and perfect that in it you are all in all. A prayer for the advancement, for a better reflection of God's glory in His kingdom. And the kingdom does advance. The kingdom does go forward, and it is accomplished by God Himself. Verse 11. The Lord gives the word. The women who announce the news are a great host. When talking about the advancement of the kingdom, it begins with what God has done. God gives the word. God gives the message. God is the primary actor. The one who is engaged in revealing the glories of His kingdom. The advancement of the kingdom is accomplished by the king, but he does that through the work of his people. The Lord gives the word. The women who announce the news are a great host. God calls us to be involved in the spreading of that word. God calls us to be involved in the advancement of His kingdom. He is the one who is finally responsible. We don't do anything that God has not already planned or that He could not do Himself, but He allows us to be involved in that advancement. He uses us to announce the glories of the kingdom. And that obligates us. It obligates us to live in such a way that God's glory is reflected in our lives. That His kingdom is seen as advancing in what we do and say. That God's kingdom is seen as advancing in our own homes. That we as families reflect God's intention for kingdom families. It obligates us as husbands to live in a particular way according to the laws of the king. We cannot do whatever we want, but we live under God's kingship, and that directs us as husbands. It directs us as wives, how we will deal with our husbands. It directs us as parents of our children. We may not be despots over our children, but we care for them. As the king reflects his glory and his care in his kingdom, so we reflect that in our homes. And children, you are called to live for the glory of the king. When you disobey mom and dad, you are not only sinning against them, but it is against God. God is the author. He gives the word. But then there are those who are called to announce and advance that kingdom, to recognize there are structures in the world around us, that God has set order. And as the king, we are called to follow that order that he has put in place. We read the chariots of God, verse 17, the chariots of God are twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them. Sinai is now in the sanctuary. Sinai was that picture of the wilderness where God revealed himself in his power and his glory. And now Sinai has come to the sanctuary, to Jerusalem. God has settled his people in his kingdom, and he has been with them every step of the way. We've talked about that in the Psalms before, how two polar ends are spoken about, and it means every place in between. Sinai, the wilderness, has now come to the sanctuary. And God has been with his people, walking with them. As we talk about advancing the kingdom of God, it is not in our own strength, but it is the strength God has given to us. He gives the word. He speaks the original word. And we are those who share in the spreading of that glorious word.
God advances His kingdom. It's His work alone, but it is accomplished, it is effective in the world around us. How does the kingdom of God advance? Verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears us up." God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong deliverances from death. God's kingdom advances. God's kingdom grows when others are brought into that kingdom. God is a God of salvation. God is a God of conversion. And when the heathens, when the wicked are converted, the kingdom of God advances. Our confession says, keep your church strong and add to it. That's the prayer, thy kingdom come. That God in His church might show Himself to be great and glorious and gracious. That God converts those who would oppose Him. For God is a God of salvation. And to the Lord belongs deliverance from death. That's the glorious word we're called to bring. That God brings deliverance from death. Not that God helps good people to be better, but that God brings dead people back to life. Deliverances from death. And when that glorious gospel message is brought by us to those around us, God's kingdom advances. And it is for His glory. We say with the psalmist in Psalm 115, "Not unto us, O God, not unto us, but to Your name be the glory." When God sees fit to work through us for the advancement of the kingdom, we don't take pride in ourselves and what we have done, but we give glory to the King, for salvation belongs to God. That's how the kingdom advances. Keep your church strong and add to it. But, verse 21, but God will strike the heads of His enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in his guilty ways. We talked about this when we spoke about the imprecatory psalms a few weeks ago on Sunday evening. That God advances His kingdom either through conversion, but for those who will not hear, God's kingdom advances by the evil and the wicked being condemned. That demonstrates God's righteousness and the glory of His majesty. But notice how first the word of grace, God is a God of salvation, God is a God who delivers from death, but for those who refuse to hear that word of grace, then there is the frightening specter of the victor king, the one who strikes the head of his enemies. If you are living today with yourself on the throne, with your desires and your wishes at the center of your being, you are called today to dethrone that king and recognize God as the eternal king. Recognize Him as the one who provides for all of your needs, not our self-sufficiency, not our pride in what we can do. Because if we do not, if we persistently and deliberately reject the call of God, God will strike the heads of His enemies and those who walk in their guilty ways. Our confession says, destroy the devil's work, destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your word. God's kingdom advances when the church is made strong and added to through conversion. God's kingdom advances when the work of the devil is destroyed and every force that revolts against God is put down and God brings condemnation on His enemies. It's a hard picture. difficult to see God as that absolutely just God. We're so used to referring to Him as merciful and gracious, and that He is. But we may never play His mercy off against His justice. He is the God of salvation. He is also the God who punishes the wicked. For those who bow before Him, for those who recognize Him as the King, there are blessings in being in His kingdom. Verse 24, the procession is seen, O God, the procession of my God, my King into the sanctuary. There's the singers, there's the musicians, there's the tambourine players. Bless God in the great congregation, O Lord, you are Israel's fountain. There is Benjamin, the least of them, in the lead. This glorious picture of a procession, of a celebration in the King. A celebration in what He has done. A celebration in being brought into that kingdom. To be a part of the kingdom of God is a blessing for the people. It's a blessing to have God as your king. I sometimes think the idea of having God as our king almost seems like oppression. Well, if we acknowledge God as king, well, then we can't do this, and we can't do that, and we can't do this. And we see the entrance into the fullness of God's kingdom as something that will be harmful to us. It is just the opposite. To know God as your King, as your Lord, is a place of blessing. It's a place of joy. To celebrate what God has done. There in the lead, Benjamin, the least of them. And all the other tribes brought in. God takes the least of His people and sets them in places of honor. It's a blessing to be a part of the kingdom of God. It's a blessing to have Him as the Lord and ruler of your life because He leads in the ways of freedom. To have myself on the throne is captivity. But to have God on the throne is to be led in the paths of righteousness. There is this glorious picture of submission to the King. Willing submission. Summon your power, O God, the power by which you have worked in us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings shall bear gifts to you. They shall submit themselves to you. Verse 31, nobles shall come from Egypt. Cush shall hasten to stretch out her hands to God. People will bring tribute. They will bow down before Him. And that's what God calls us to do. To submit to Him. As king. Our confession begins, thy kingdom comes means rule us by your word in such a way that more and more we submit to you. That's our prayer. That God would rule us in such a way that more and more we submit to the kingship of Jesus Christ. That's a blessing. Not to be enslaved to our own passions and desires, but to submit ourselves to the glorious reign of the King. The psalm ends with praise and glory to God. O kingdoms of the earth, sing praise to God. Sing praises to the Lord, to Him who rides in the heavens. Awesome is God in His sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to His people. God gives blessing. God gives power. God gives strength to His people. The glory, the joys of belonging to His kingdom. That's our prayer. That would come more fully. That God would do all of these things until His kingdom is so complete and perfect that in it He is all in all. To pray the prayer, thy kingdom come, affects us. To pray it honestly, it means that we take ourselves off the throne and recognize Christ on His throne. That we are ruled not by our own ideas, but ruled by His Word and by His Spirit. To pray this prayer honestly is to recognize God is in charge and we are not. To willingly, lovingly submit ourselves to the King who is our powerful deliverer, our gracious defender, our perfect provider. Oh, may God help us to pray and to live, Thy kingdom come. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, You are the great King over Your people. You are majestic. You are glorious. You are righteous. You are just. You are loving. And You are caring. How we praise You for Your majesty and for Your kingship. And we do pray, O God, for the advancement of Your kingdom. The work is all of Your power. But You include us in those who are called to press for that advancement. Lord God, may we see Your kingdom coming more fully in our lives, in our homes, in our education, in our vocation, whatever You have called us to do. May we more and more submit to You. Oh, the pride is always there. We do not like to humble ourselves. But may we turn our eyes toward Jesus, the one who humbled Himself, who became a man and humbled Himself even to death on the cross, that we might know You as Savior, as Lord, and as King. Use us, O God, for Your honor and for Your glory in the advancement of Your kingdom. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.